safety there. So I invite you to do that with me again. Wherever you're at, as I say, this is the word of the Lord, may you respond together with your family or in your individual silence there of worship. Thanks be to God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, yesterday we placed our first delivery order from Kroger in response to the coronavirus. And I know many of you have placed orders online through local shopping avenues, some to Amazon and Walmart. Well, we placed our delivery through Kroger, and it was pretty cool. Manya and I were talking, and I was getting text message updates even as they were shopping. And then things didn't go so good. They started telling me that there were certain items that are really important to Manya that they were out of. They use that fearful word for any of us that really are OCD. They use that word, we're going to have to substitute some of your items. Well, I was thinking, I said, what am I going to do? Because Manya believes that there's only one type of crushed tomatoes that she can make her world-famous spaghetti with. And the brand is Red Gold. They have to be crushed. And I received the text message they were going to have to substitute her tomatoes. And also, I received the message that they were going to have to substitute, of all things, her Rotel tomatoes. They said, we're going to give you Kroger brand tomatoes with green chilies. So I had to make that tough decision. What do I do? How do I express this to Manya when her favorite items are not going to be in there? So I took the coward's way out. I didn't tell her. I waited till they got here, and I thought, you know, I suspect she'll overreact, and I just want to put it off as long as I can. And all of that was my feelings right up until I got the message that something I wanted was having to be substituted. My whole emotions changed upside down. Instead of thinking about Manya being one that overreacted so much, I started thinking, wait a minute, I'm not overreacting though, because this is hitting home to something essential to me, because they were starting to mess with my coffee. And those of you who are coffee lovers like me know that that's not something you mess with. That's not a request. That's not a want. That's a need, correct? So I started wrestling with the fact that many of us, when it's the other person's pain or peril that they're going through, it's sometimes easy to downplay or minimize the effects of an illness, of a separation, of a virus. But so often when those things that we go through come home, it gets more personal. So just as I was wrestling with the substitutions on our order from the supermarket, I started thinking theologically, and through this crisis, this epidemic, there's much of this that we can't control. I couldn't control that things had to be supplemented or changed in what I had preferred to happen. And so it is with all of us enduring this separation. This is a supplement to our way of living. Things are being substituted that we used to practice. And here's the thing. We often don't have a choice of what challenges we face. Isn't that true in life? You know, I don't know about you all, but there are some things that I do just make knuckleheaded decisions, don't we all, at some point? And oftentimes we can live with those results. We realize, hey, I kind of brought this upon myself. But it's those circumstances, those challenges we face from the outside when our world has to be substituted or changed from what we had planned that really gets us out of our comfort zone. And here's the choice for us. As people of faith, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we don't always get to choose what challenges we face. But friends, we as people of faith always have a choice of how we respond to those challenges. You see, that's central to us as Christ people to be light in our world right now as we face darkness. You know, as I shared early, many of you are being wonderful examples of our faith as you're continuing to serve your community. You're continuing to pray for others, send notes and flowers to those who are facing illness and even grief as a result of this virus. We, dear church, have a choice of how we respond to any adversity that we face in life. I remember my cousin, Beth Horton Lockhart, when she received a stroke, and shortly after that, when her language was still very distorted, she said to me, "You know, Jody, we don't get to choose where we're planted, but we do get to choose if we bloom right where we are." Friends, that's our call to faith. As Christian people, are to be people that bloom and share forth the light of Christ, even in this darkness. Now, I share that today, especially on Palm Sunday, because I've been encouraging us throughout these last few weeks that we strive to continue to be people of worship. We be people of light in this world as it's facing challenges. But maybe the question before us is, why is that? Why do we have to be? Why do we have to have a responsibility to serve the world? It's God's grace that delivers us. So why should we be light and love for others? Well, you know, I think our text today really provides us a reminder of the kind of actions God calls us to. Did you hear in the text, as I shared that reading from Matthew, that Jesus had disciples, friends with him as he prepared to journey into Jerusalem? And our scripture says that as they were there in Bethphage, Jesus used this powerful four-letter word, Matthew said there, Jesus sent his disciples to go into the city and to procure the donkey and its colt to help transport him down into the city of Jerusalem. This was what we call the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But here that saying in that text, that four-letter word sent, can often be overlooked. Do you understand that just as Jesus sent disciples to represent him in procuring the donkey, Jesus still sends us. He trusts us to represent him daily as he has left this world to prepare a glorious home for us. Isn't that what our Lord said to us? Even as he prepared to ascend into heaven, he commissioned his disciples and we as the church to be his very body, to be his voice, to be his hands and feet, as we serve the world for our God's glory. Just as the disciples were sent into Jerusalem, friends, we are called as modern day disciples to be sent by our Lord to give hope in the midst of this crisis and whatever adversity people face. You see, when we live out our love, we inspire others to see that God loves them and God is the hope for life, love, and joy forever. I think back to when I was in high school, and we at Faulkner High School were a football school when I was growing up. We were a boys' football team and a girls' basketball team. The girls had a great team. They actually won the state the year before we graduated, but our poor little boys' basketball team, we were atrocious. And you know, I remember hating it for our coach, Steve Jobe, when we first started, because he was so committed to those girls, and he really was ambitious enough to think he could turn our boys around. Bless his heart, he didn't know how much work he had to do. And I remember after one defeat, a specific resounding defeat, we were riding back on the bus, and I had this wonderful skill of making a weed eater sound. Now, I'm going to demonstrate that for y'all today. And I just hope that the distance of this technology of Facebook Live really helps you to appreciate the full skill I have in making the Weed Eater sound. So we were riding the bus back from this defeat, and I cranked up my Weed Eater, and I began the sound. And this went on about 20 or 30 seconds, and Steve Jobs said, "Whoever's running that Weed Eater better turn it off." Well, I didn't stop running the Weed Eater. And I ran that Weed Eater for 20 minutes all the way back to Faulkner. And the next day, he lined us up on the line, and we began running, and we ran until, boy, my Weed Eater was completely out of gas. And you know, just a week after that, Steve found out it was me. He knew that I'd run the Weed Eater, and we ultimately had a good laugh about it. And a week after that, as we went to a game that the girls were playing in, not us boys, just the girls, I was riding on the bus with my cousin Jimmy Horton. We were serving as managers that day, and we were late getting to the game for some reason. Steve pulled the bus up right in front of the gym and kind of angled it over in the ditch. And he threw me the keys and he said, "Here, move the bus." Well, friends, I barely knew how to drive a standard, much less a straight shift, or an automatic, much less a standard or straight shift. I started up the bus and I got it going. I got it out of the ditch and I got it to where it needed to go. And everything was going wonderful until I needed to stop. And the engine went dead. I must have changed gears too quickly. And with the engine not running, I couldn't stop the bus. And I started pumping the brakes, jerking emergency brakes, trying everything in my capacity to stop the bus. And it finally came to a creeping halt right before I destroyed another vehicle. Later that evening, I went home and told my mama about it, and she just couldn't believe that he trusted me to drive that bus. She said, "What if you'd have ran over somebody or destroyed somebody's vehicle? Who would have paid for that? That's the worst thing I ever heard, that he sent you out there to drive that bus." But you know what I thought? I thought Mom was wrong, because I thought it was wonderful. You know what I thought was wonderful? That he trusted me and he sent me. He trusted me. Embrace this with me, church. He trusted me even though I had failed him and disrespected him and not been faithful to his leadership just a week before. After that, he trusted me to do a job and he sent me. You see, in a far greater way, would you consider with me today that our gracious God looks to our world in need, and in spite of your shortcomings, church, in spite of mine, the mistakes I've made, my sinfulness, my selfishness, my brokenness, God still looks to me in a far greater way than my high school basketball coach. And he says, "I know your past, but guess what? I still am sending you to get the bus out of the ditch, to get the ox unstuck, to restore and give hope to this world, and represent me when people need love." Wow. That's the call of our faith. That's why we are people who reach out to our communities, why we ring our church bells at 6 p.m. on evenings to support our health care providers, to remind them not only are they not in this alone and we're grateful for their action, but the church stands with them and love will win. Friends, that's why we're sent. But you know, I also think about this. As Jesus sent those disciples into Jerusalem that day, not only did they go to get the donkey, not only did they go and do a task for Jesus, but this is what also happened. Jesus said, "If you have any problems, Just say to the person, tell the man who owns the donkey that the Lord needs it and he will give it to you. He will send you on the way. What Jesus was saying to his disciples is, not only am I sending you to do a task, but you know what you're doing? You're taking my name with you. You're representing me as you serve me. You see, I think about that in our modern day times too. I remember a young attorney once that I was pastoring. He'd just gotten his law license and he was began serving in his firm. And he and his girlfriend were at church one Sunday and she shared with me. She said, "Well, Bobby got his first assignment representing the firm." She said, "We're so happy." And Bobby played it down immediately. He said, "Well, it's not really a big deal, Pastor Jody. It's really just a speeding ticket. They're asking me to go represent the firm. And just so we have somebody there, I'm going to take care of the legalities." And you know what my response was to Bobby? I said, "Wait a minute, Bobby. This is a big deal. I understand what you're saying. This is just a simple traffic speeding ticket. But think about this. They are asking you to represent them before the court. They're asking you, they're allowing you, they're inviting you to take their name with them and represent them in their time of need." Friend, that is a big deal anytime you take the name of another. So let's embrace again the call of the disciples in our text. They took the name of Jesus with them as they sought the beast to deliver him down into Jerusalem. They represented him to the world around them. Think with me for a moment that here in our world, as we are those in need of light and love, as our world needs to see our Lord, can you embrace with me the magnitude of our God's grace that we too are called to take His name, to take the name of Jesus with us as the church, to be His light and love, and that He entrusts me and you to be His hands and feet for all those who are hurting, suffering, and seeking restoration from our Lord. So friends, may we embrace that high calling, the high calling of our faith, to be sent on Palm Sunday, to embrace these branches and fan them for all to see that our God is worthy of our praise and His love is the hope for all creation. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, during this holy season called Holy Week, and on this day called Palm Sunday, we are reminded and mindful that You would trust us as Your humble servants to be Your light to the world around us. As we share Your love, as we proclaim Your goodness of what You've done in our life, as we pray for others, perhaps we will be the only witness of Christ that they come in contact with for some time or ever have. And even as we worship together this day, if there are those who've never embraced You as Lord, who've heard the stories since their youth, but wondered, could God be real? Can love really win in a world filled with hate? Perhaps there's a way, even in this service today, God, that You would pour Your Spirit out upon Your children who are hurting, to make Yourself known to them, even if it's for the first time, that You are their Savior, that Your love is forever, and that Your grace is sufficient for all to have life in You by simply trusting in You and following You to to grow in your love forever. May you keep us safe as a community. May you protect all of our families as we pray for one another and with one another at this time. And may we bring glory to you, O God, as we continue to be your church. Despite separation, may we draw more closely to you and one another spiritually, emotionally, and relationally now more than ever. To the glory of Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. It was great to worship with y'all. I'm going to play a closing song here. If you want to listen, you can. If you need to jump off, that's understandable too. You are an inspiration to me. I love you. I pray God's blessing upon you. Thank you for being with us today.
The great unknown will feed me fear.